On today's show, a very interesting interview planned as we talk with Oliver Luck, CEO and Commissioner of the XFL Football League. We've got lots to talk about with Commissioner Luck today because there's lots of information about the XFL that the public doesn't even know yet. We still don't know about cities and which ones will be hosting XFL franchises, and we don't know how those franchises will be acquiring its players. These are very important and pertinent questions to the league, so I hope that Commissioner Luck can give us some insight and much-needed answers on these widespread questions about the league and its viability in 2020. Before we get started today, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi-Talk Sports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Now that the 2018 season is over, get ready for 2019, the franchise's 20th anniversary season. Season tickets go on sale in March. Well, Commissioner Luck will be joining us here in a moment, but there's a fundamental question that I have about the league and its reboot here in 2020. And that's, why now? Why has the XFL decided to come back knowing that they're going to have to go up against the NFL without a doubt, and now the AAF, which is another football league funded and run by Charlie Ebersol and also featuring Michael Vick in it as an offensive coordinator. So now they have two competitors, one of which is a mainstay and a magnate in American culture today. Look, the NFL, plain and simple, is the highest-grossing sports organization in the entire country. And I'm skeptical as to how the XFL is going to recruit viewers and pry them away from the NFL while at the same time staying financially sustainable. This is a tough endeavor, no doubt. I'm not questioning that. But again, you have to be skeptical and wonder just how the XFL is going to make the most of this second opportunity. But either way, you have to remember, this is exciting. It's nice to see an alternative to the status quo, and it'll be interesting to see how the XFL competes with the NFL. Anyways, I'm really looking forward to this interview with Commissioner Luck, as he'll answer some of these tougher questions and also talk about the league and its expectations in 2020. Again, really happy that you're here joining us, and I hope you enjoy what's to come. And with that, it's time for our special guest. He began his NFL career in 1982 as a member of the Houston Oilers, passing for 1,375 yards in 7 games. Following 4 seasons in the league, he retired and pursued his Juris Doctorate at the University of Texas. After holding leadership roles with the Houston Dynamo and West Virginia University, he became the Vice President for Regulatory Affairs with the NCAA in 2014. And today, he's the CEO and Commissioner of the XFL Football League. Please welcome Commissioner Oliver Luck to the show. Oliver, how are you doing today, and thank you for being here on the show.
John, I'm doing fine. I hope you're doing well, and happy to be in your show.
So to start today, Oliver, I think there's a fundamental question that many people have about this XFL reboot, and it all goes back to the league's demise back in 2001. How do you expect to sustain the league and its popularity this time around in 2020 and avoid what happened in the past?
Sure, that's a very fair question. So, you know, XFL 1.0, as we like to call it internally, you know, was a one-and-done league, right, back in 2001. A lot of what we're doing this time around is quite honestly different. In fact, very different. The legal structure is different. XFL 1.0 was a joint venture between NBC and WWE, you know, the company that Vince McMahon operates. And I think it's fair to say that nowhere near enough attention and focus was placed on the football and the quality of the play in 2001. So we're focused on doing it the right way. I think we've learned a lot, right, from the experience of 2001. We've studied lots of other you know, spring leagues to realize where they had made mistakes. So I think what you'll see is much better football, a much higher quality of play, better preparation. You know, we've got much more time to prepare for our 2020 kickoff than I think the group had it back in 2001. There's much more information about, you know, health and safety and nutrition and all those other things that probably weren't big considerations or even considerations at all in the first go around. But, you know, it's actually a little bit helpful to have that experience because we can learn certainly from, you know, the mistakes that were made. But we consider this to be, quite honestly, a much different league with relatively little in common with 2001.
Now, do you see this one being a one-and-done league like 2001, or is the aspiration to have it last as long as possible?
Well, the obvious answer is we do not see it as a one-and-done. Vince McMahon, the owner and funder of the XFL, is committed to putting a significant amount of capital into this, so our budgets have us playing multiple years. I think folks realize that, you know, when you launch a football league, there's not many, you know, startup football leagues that have been launched over the years. But if you do launch a football league, as we're doing, you know, it takes a while to get established and to build up the profile of your teams and your coaches in those respective communities. And so, you know, we envision this absolutely being a long-term investment. We do not expect it all to be, you know, away from the football scene after year one or year two. This is a much more focused on the long-term investment and building a sustainable league over the long haul.
Commissioner Oliver Luck here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Oliver, I was also wondering about the decision to bring the league back, because now you've got to compete with the AAF and, of course, the NFL. So why did you decide to bring the XFL back, and why are you launching it now in 2020?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons that now is the right time. So first of all, we don't consider ourselves a competitor to the National Football League. We'll be playing in the spring, and the NFL is an incredibly successful league. It's the juggernaut. I was proud to have played in the league. I'm proud that my son is able to play in the league. And, you know, we will take a lot of lessons from the success of the National Football League. So we consider ourselves to be a complement and in no way, you know, a competition. I think there's always room for complementary leagues. So I think it's the right time because, number one, football is the most popular sport in this country. In fact, if you ask people what they like to watch sport-wise, it's usually the NFL number one, and then major college football number two, you know, before any of the other leagues begin to sort of show up in the rankings. It's extraordinarily popular. Based on our research, we believe there are almost 40 million passionate, diehard football fans, and they tell us they want more football, and they want more football in those months where there is no football, right? So, you know, football is kind of funny in the sense that it's a relatively short season. It's obviously a physically demanding game, and guys can't play, you know, 40 or 50 games like they might be able to do in soccer or basketball or baseball or any of the other sports. So we believe there's a need. There's a void that exists after the Super Bowl for those 40 million passionate football fans. They live all across the country, big markets, small markets. But we believe that it's an appropriate time to fill that void and to really appeal to those diehard football fans, whether it's in venue or at home watching. So we think it's the right time. And we also think, and this is sometimes underemphasized, you know, this country is a country of entrepreneurs. Vince McMahon is one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the sports and entertainment space, and the economy is doing relatively well right now, you know, pretty much all across the country. So I think, you know, from some of those, you know, macro viewpoints, it's really a good time to launch the league.
So I know you mentioned that you're not going to be competing with the NFL, but are you worried about the AAF, because now they're starting a year earlier than you and they're run by Charlie Ebersole? Do you see them as a problem to the success of the XFL?
No, I don't. You know, Charlie and Bill Polian have put together their league. They are in the markets that they're in, and, you know, they're going to launch in 19. You know, we're not concerned about them. We wish them luck and hope they do well, but we don't consider that to be, quite honestly, a competitor of ours.
Well, let's get into the logistics of the league. How many teams do you see being a part of it, and do you have an idea of which cities are being targeted to host some teams?
So we will launch our inaugural season in 2020 with 8 franchises. We have a very good idea of where those franchises will be, but we'll be sharing that information beginning in October. We'll be rolling out our various markets and the venues, and then establish the team identities as we go into the end of this calendar year and the first quarter of 2019.
And obviously, you know, you can't have teams without players. So how is the league planning on finding players? Are you guys planning on having a draft or recruiting players right out of college or former pros? How is that all going to come about?
Yes, 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 and yes. So think about this for a moment. Most folks don't really realize this, even sort of diehard football fans. This past September 1st was the big cutdown for the NFL season, right? After training camp, the 32 teams, announced the players who would be cut, right? They go from 90 basically down to 53. There were 1,100 players released by the National Football League. These are players, there's some young guys, there's some older guys in that group. There's always, players that people say, wow, he got cut. I thought he was pretty good. He had a 7 or 8 year career. So there's a lot of very talented football players who just aren't quite good enough to make it year in, year out with the National Football League. I'm telling you, I can say this as a former player and the father of a current player. It's hard to make a 53-man roster. It really is. So I believe that the pool of talented players coming out of the colleges is broader and deeper than ever. There are, it's bad grammar, I apologize, but there are more better players out there. And that's a real tribute to college football, not just the big programs, but all the way down to the FCS schools and the Division II and Division III schools. There's no question about that. So we think there'll be a plethora of players who are good quality players that our fans will recognize, who've had experience with NFL teams, maybe got cut, maybe stuck around for a couple, 3 years, but want to continue to play. And you mentioned one thing, which is, college players without NFL experience. Obviously, we are not subject to the NFL's collective bargaining agreement. That's the agreement between the league and the union of NFL players that restricts players from being eligible in the NFL. They have to be 3 years out of high school, right? Using, considered the 3-year rule. Well, we're not subject to that rule. So conceivably, theoretically, we could take a guy who's played 2 years of college football who says, I don't want to get beat up for a third year. I'm not interested in academics to begin with, or I'm about to flunk out. Yeah, I'll come play in the XFL. So that's an opportunity as well. We don't think that'll be, a big source of our players, but, it very well could be.
So what about a player who maybe is good enough to be in the NFL but isn't on a current team, like Colin Kaepernick? Would that be someone that the league is willing to give a contract to?
Well, we haven't signed any players at this point. Our plan is to begin looking at players during the first quarter of 19, particularly looking at quarterbacks. So I'd rather not make comments on any particular individual. But certainly there are a lot of good players out there, guys with NFL experience, guys without NFL experience necessarily, some great players that are up in Canada that may be interested in returning home. we hear about the guys up in the CFL who are playing very well, who would rather play in the U.S., quite honestly, because they're American citizens. So I'd rather not comment on any particular individual, but we're going to take a deep, long look at a lot of players, and because we think our eventual pool of about 450 or so will be those guys who are just that little notch below what it takes to make it in the National Football League.
I know you don't want to comment on Kaepernick, and that's fine, but, he started, obviously, the anthem protest in the NFL. Do you see the XFL maybe allowing its players to take a knee if they wanted to during the national anthem? Has that been a topic of discussion so far?
Well, Vince McMahon, our owner, has said to me that he wants our players in the XFL, to stand for the flag and respect the flag. I don't think that we'll see our players taking a knee.
I wanted to move now to some personal news and ask you about this opportunity to come about, because I know that you had a stable job at least with the NCAA, and now you're coming to the XFL and starting from the ground up. So how did this all come about, and what are you most looking forward to come 2020 for the league?
So I was at the NCAA. I think you had mentioned in your opening statement was running our regulatory affairs group, which really kind of is the underpinning of college athletics in terms of eligibility and rules and all of that, right? You know, college athletics is a highly regulated industry. So I enjoyed my work there. I'm an attorney by training. I really love college sports, think it's one of the great institutions in American life. This opportunity came along because, quite honestly, I've spent time with startups before. I worked for a decade for the NFL in Europe, starting franchises over there in the NFL Europe, running that entire league. I ran the Houston Dynamo as a brand new startup, took to the club in the first 2 years to two MLS championships. So I've got some experience, you know, launching these leagues. And quite honestly, you know, in a nutshell, I said to myself, it's not often that there's a new professional football league, right, a sport that I enjoy and care about and respect. Not often that a new league gets launched. It just doesn't happen, you know, very, very often. And so this was sort of a once, you know, in a lifetime opportunity. And met Mr. McMahon. Super impressed with his, you know, entrepreneurial skills and the work he's done building his company, WWE, publicly traded company. That does remarkably well, generates almost $1 billion a year in revenue. And I was impressed by his vision and said to myself, you know, this will be challenging. It'll be a lot of hard work, you know, drinking out of the proverbial fire hose, but it's fun. What I'm looking forward to the most is sort of the mandate that Vince gave me, which is he wants me and my team to reimagine the game, right? The game of football is great, number one sport in the country. People love the National Football League, and they sure they've got their, you know, issues maybe with the flag or whatever it would be. But he wants to reimagine the game and address those issues that are of concern to football fans. You know, one of which is the duration of the game. Right, games are now almost 4 hours long, and in that 4 hours, there's only 12 or 13 or 14 minutes of actual game play. There's a lot of standing around, a lot of timeouts, a lot of dead time, right? You know, shots of the coaches on the sideline, et cetera. So Vince has said, you know, reimagine the game and let's kind of go back to the future a little bit and, you know, have a high-paced, you know, fast game with lots of offensive plays, fewer stoppages, more rhythm, more flow, all things that fans and even players and coaches complain about, and get that all done in 2 hours and 45 minutes and have a nice, you know, high-quality product that isn't sort of as choppy as what you might get, you know, with major college football or even with the NFL. And that was very intriguing because it's a game that I certainly enjoy. I love it. And to be able to sit with people like John Fox or Jim Caldwell or, you know, Doug Flutie involved, many others, you know, some tech people, some health and safety folks, to sit and really figure out how do you make the game better, how do you improve on the game without changing the basics of the game. It's going to be 11 on 11 on a football field, you know, running, passing, catching, blocking, tackling, kicking, you know, all those things that we love about the game. That was very intriguing. We've done a lot of reimagination work. We're still in that process, but I'm very excited about that. And I think a lot of football fans will be very excited to see, you know, a couple of the sort of different rules that we end up having, you know, when we launch in 2020.
You mentioned the rules, and I know that many people are unhappy with the NFL right now and some of its overregulation on penalties like roughing the passer. How do you see the XFL maybe combating that problem and enticing more fans to watch, knowing that, you know, there's not going to be as much regulation as there is right now?
Well, you know, I think the NFL does a very good job of trying to make the game as safe as it can possibly be, right? You know, the dynamics of gameplay, given the physics, right, the bigger size of the players, the speed, the dynamics have made it a much tougher game than it was certainly when I played in the 80s, and just because, again, of those physics. So, you know, and the research now that we have about head trauma, we've got to take that seriously and kind of go where the science leads us. So I give a lot of credit to the NFL as well as I do to the NCAA for the work that's been done trying to make the game safe. So, you know, along with that, you know, comes some challenges, right, trying to use technology appropriately, trying to, you know, make sure that plays are reviewed and referees get the right call. So, you know, there's a space in there where we think we can be helpful. We think we can do things a little bit differently. We think that can be attractive to the fans. You know, it would take a two-hour podcast, quite honestly, to go into a lot of the details of how we could do things differently, what's going to be a little bit different about our game, how we're going to sort of, you know, deliver on that promise that we are making to our fan base, that it's going to be a high-paced, you know, high-octane kind of game where we're bringing conditioning back into the game, right? Players may be a little bit smaller because they're going to have to, you know, end up playing more plays and being in better shape. So, you know, it's difficult to give an example here or there because they're all sort of linked together. We've got a new way of looking at the kickoff that we're thinking about. And not only are we thinking about that, but we've got the time to test that particular play, right? The idea that we have to test that thesis with live players as we go into, you know, the beginning of 19 when we start to sign our players. So, you know, the NFL is a remarkably successful league. They do a lot of things extraordinarily well. I typically tend to push back a little bit when say there's lots of people that are upset with the NFL. You know, it's still the most popular television program in the history of American television. And yeah, people do, you know, moan and groan a little bit about this call or that call. But it's still an extraordinarily successful league. And, you know, we're going to try to take the best things from the NFL. But if there's a chance to make a change and do things a little bit better, we'll certainly do that.
You know, I know you mentioned that you played the game in the 80s. You were a quarterback. Just from a personal standpoint, what are your thoughts about the NFL today versus when you played back in the 80s? How much tougher was it back then? And the idea that, you know, things have gotten maybe more safe now, but they're different when you played at the time.
The NFL is a much better league today than it was in the 1980s or even in the 1990s, and that's due to a number of factors, one of which is the improvement in college football, the improvement in nutrition, and the improvement in strength and conditioning, the presence of massage therapists getting these guys ready. Players are arguably physically in better shape. Certainly the physics of the game have changed. There are down linemen, right, you know, that are running sub 5-0 40-yard dashes, that the size has gotten bigger, the hits have gotten tougher, right? So, you know, I know we all look back on the past and, you know, reminisce about, let's say, the those great Pittsburgh Steelers defenses, and, of course, as an old Oiler, we played the Steelers every year, and, you know, there's some great players there, but, you know, Jack Lambert, take Jack Lambert as an example. You know, what kind of a player would Jack Lambert be in today's league? It's a different league, right? The passing game has gotten much more precise, you know, size, the speed, et cetera. The hits are tougher. You know, I just think that the league right now is a much different league and, quite honestly, a much better league than it was back in the 80s. And that's due to, you know, lots of different factors, but perhaps most importantly, you know, sort of the quality of all the ancillary activity that takes place. You know, it's now a 12-month-a-year league. I spent my off season going to law school at the University of Texas. There were teammates of mine who were getting their MBA, or in fact, teammates of mine who are going to medical school in the off season. You don't see that anymore. Why? Because you can't do it. It's a 12-month-a-year job, and as a result, you know, I think the quality of play is substantially better than it was back in the 80s, and even I think into the 90s.
Sticking with the NFL and your son, Andrew Luck, how pleased have you been with his performance so far coming back from his injuries?
Well, I'm just glad he's able to get out there and play. You know, he missed a full season because of a labrum issue in his throwing shoulder. Labrums are tricky, you know, I think as a lot of folks know. So spent a lot of time rehabbing, and just the fact that he's out playing for the Colts, you know, I think is great. I'm just happy for him, right? Like any dad, I'm happy my kid's healthy and enjoying playing again.
And on a final note, Oliver, what's your ultimate vision or goal for the XFL?
So the ultimate goal is, you know, for the XFL to be a long-term sustainable spring league. And the best way for folks to sort of envision that is, imagine if the USFL, and now we're going back to the 80s, but imagine if the USFL had stayed in the spring, right, as a springtime league. That would be, I think, a very valuable sports property, right? They had some very good players, good quality games. I attended Houston Gambler games when I was living down in Texas. And they made a decision, as I think everybody knows, right, to move to the fall and, you know, file a lawsuit against the NFL, an antitrust suit, which they won but didn't get any damages of any, you know, real level. But if that league had stayed disciplined, had continued to build their fan base, expand, et cetera, I think you'd find a very valuable sports property. And that's ultimately, I think, what our vision is to have a sustainable, standalone league that is providing good quality football at very reasonable prices, a very family affordable event to people around the country, both the in-game experience as well as the experience on television.
Well, Oliver, thank you so much for being here on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on today.
Sure, my pleasure, John.
What an honor it was to have Oliver Luck on today's show, as we talked about the ins and outs of the XFL, as well as his thoughts on the NFL and the game as it stands today. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi-Talk Sports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglua. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. Type in your email on the subscription box on the homepage of the site, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And finally, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Just search Sports Talk Chicago and you'll find every podcast from the 2018 calendar year. Make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show and have a great day.